2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Are you there? Say amen. Amen. Peter said, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." Think about that, because we're going to deal with it a little bit. "Stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by," number one, "the holy prophets," number two, "and the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Now, here's what I like. Peter was telling the people who read this letter, don't just read this letter. Go back and read, he mentioned the holy prophets. Jeremiah, Isaiah, Hosea, Malachi, Moses, David. Go back and read those men. He's referring to the Old Testament. He said, go back and read them. And then he said, remember them and have that. He intends to, as he's writing them, he intends to get them to stir up a remembrance of what those men said in the Old Testament. And then he said, and then of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. And he's referring to the New Testament. Those who wrote the New Testament, Peter and James and John and Paul. And he's talking about the books of the New Testament. Now, I just like to deal with this every time I come up on something like this, just as a help, maybe to somebody here, maybe to somebody listening online. You've been confronted by somebody who told you to only read Romans through Philemon. You said you were told that only those books are for us, and the rest of the books are for like the Jews or whatever. They don't have any bearing on us. We're to only follow these 13, 14 books, something like that, that Paul wrote. What did Peter say? Peter said, go back and read the whole Old Testament, read all the apostles. And then he said, the prophets. Then he said, the commandment of us, the apostles. He's talking about, don't read me, don't just read me, read James. Read what Jude wrote. Read what Paul wrote. Read all of those books that are in your New Testament. Read those things and have those things in your mind. He said, I mean to stir up a remembrance of these things. I think this is not the only time Peter mentioned that. But Peter liked to, as he's writing, get you to think about other places in the Bible. Paul did too. And even in the Gospels, when you're looking at the Gospels, the Gospel writers were always referring back to the Old Testament saying, see what Jesus did here? He was fulfilling such and such scripture here which said. And when Jesus would say something, then the writer of the Gospel would say, and this fulfilled what was written by the prophet Jeremiah saying this. When they had three crosses there on Golgotha, they mentioned that here was Jesus in the middle, and he had one on his left side and one on his right side. And I think it was Luke who said, and this fulfilled the prophet's word by saying he was numbered with the transgressors. They were always referring back to places in the Old Testament. And I think it's, number one, dangerous. I think number two, it's just insane to tell people that they should only read a few books out of the Bible when you're sitting there holding the whole deal in your hand. God put it in your hand for a reason. Read it, study it, meditate on it, memorize it as much as you can. Know what that Bible says. Know, be able to give an answer to somebody of what you believe and why you believe it based upon the Word of God. Let me hear you say amen. And he said, that's what we want to do. And he said, I want you to be, and look at verse 2, I want you to be mindful of the words which were spoken by the prophets and the apostles. And so I could start this out tonight asking you, how many of you would like a clean mind? Say amen. How many of you would like how many of you would like a stable mind? A pure mind. Because that's what he says here. Stir up your pure minds. How many of you would like something like that? So I was looking at that and I thought, you know what? I bet the Bible's got something to say about it, and it sure does. You can try to go to these verses if you want to. I've got probably 4 or 5 pages here, so you know for a fact I'm not going to get done tonight anyway. But let's just talk about the battlefield of the mind, can we? There is a battlefield in your mind. There is, this little picture of a devil on this shoulder and an angel on this shoulder. The truth be known about it, there is a warfare going on for what goes on inside of your head. Amen. Who knows that? Say amen. You wake up in the morning and it's there. You go throughout your day, you can feel the struggle. You can feel the warfare. There's things that you want to do, and the Holy Spirit's telling you, don't do that. Now, don't say that. Now, don't go over there. Don't be a part of that. And there's always going to be a struggle, and the battlefield is going to be in your mind, because the mind dictates what happens in the flesh. Amen? While I'm standing here, my mind, the Bible doesn't use the word brain ever, but it uses the word mind. My mind is moving my hands. I'm not even really thinking about it. My mind is controlling the gentle reactions of my toes, keeping me balanced. And I'm not even aware of it. It's getting signals from the inner ear, because you've got a little, what is that called in there? Huh? A gyroscope. You got a gyroscope in both ears. There's a little bubble in there and some little tubes that tell it when it's level. And if I get a little bit out of level, my little toe, my big toe, my feet will work together to hold me up. And my brain is doing that nonsense. It's telling my heart to beat, telling my lungs to breathe and take in there. And it's commanding water to come shooting out of my head while I'm talking. Okay? My mind is doing all of that. Your mind is an amazing thing. But the battlefield for the mind really is the battlefield over what the body does, what the mouth says, what the eyes see, what the eyes won't see, what the ears hear, what they won't hear, and so on. It all starts in the mind. In Colossians 1:21, Paul said, "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled." Your mind at one time was alienated from God. You wanted nothing to do with God. You wanted nothing to do with His commandments and His morality. You wanted nothing to do with it, and you were alienated, and you were an enemy of God because you were in sin. When you are in sin, you will be an enemy of God. Amen? Because friendship with the world is enmity against God. And it all takes place in your mind. And at one point, you served or played for the other team. You lived on the other side, and you hated the people who came to church with their little Bibles and sat down and listened to Bible studies all night, talked about Jesus and sang Amazing Grace, and that annoyed you, got on your nerves. You hated those people. And God said, "Watch while I make you one of them." Amen? Now you come to a little Bible study with your Bible, open up and say amen, smile and sing Amazing Grace every now and then. Amen? That's how you used to be, but it all was in the battlefield of your mind. You know what? If you want, I'm going to have you try to keep up with me. Get ready. Isaiah 26. Go. Isaiah 26. You turn there, I'll turn my fan on. I said I would. Isaiah 26. Here's what he said. Verse 3. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." That word "stay" is related to the word "status." It's related to the word "stand." That little prefix, S-T-A. You'll see it in all these English words that come from Latin, where everything is going to stand. It's going to stay put. It's going to be fixed. It's not ever going to move. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth thee." That does not mean that you're never afraid. That does not mean that you're ever doubtful. That does not mean that maybe every now and then you're just not thinking quite right. But you've got it in your mind and your heart that you know that when it gets bad enough, you're going to open your Bible, you're going to read it, and God's going to deal with you, and God's going to help you, and your mind is fixed. You know that the answers to the questions and the problems of your life are all sitting there right in your lap tonight. Amen. Your mind is stayed on you because He trusteth in thee. "Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." God is going to give us the ability to stand against all of our enemies. Say amen. God is going to give us the power to stand against them. He is going to give us these things. And He will give us peace if we will establish our mind on God and His Word. Matthew 22. I'll give you 10 seconds. Turn there. Matthew chapter 22. 8, 7. Matthew chapter 22. Two commandments that were given by our Lord and Savior. since we can't keep the 10. Amen? Surely we can handle 2. I like that. Hey, listen. He gives us 2 commandments, right? Love the Lord your God. Love thy neighbor as thyself, right? Okay. And then he said, on these 2 hang all the law and prophets. When Moses comes down from Mount Sinai, what does he have in his hand? How many? It's a type and a shadow, isn't it? Why couldn't God just write them on 1? Or why didn't Moses come down with 10 pieces of stone, 1 each? He comes down with 2. And on those 2 is all the law and all the prophets. And that's something. And even if you look at those 10 commandments, they are clearly divided. The first 4, dedicated solely to the Lord. And then the next 6, dedicated to our neighbor. The 5th one, I think, is a transitional one. Honor your father and your mother. Well, you have 2 sets of those. You have 1 down here and you have 1 up there. Amen? So it's a transitional deal. But on these 2 hang all the law and prophets. And Jesus said, I've come to fulfill this law. Let me show you what this really means. This set here means love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. And he said, if you'll do that, you'll fulfill these commandments. And he said, then he said, love your neighbor as yourself. And he said, if you'll fulfill that, you'll love your neighbor, then you'll fulfill what these are. And he said, on these 2 is all the law. So here's what he said. He said, Matthew 22:37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy what? Mind. With all your mind. You want to have a pure mind? You want to have a clean mind? You want to have a steady mind, a stable mind? Establish it on the Lord. Stabilize your mind upon the Word of God, upon the Lord, and love the Lord your God. It's my love. This I heard that some of the exchange it went on between this county clerk and those 2 sodomites that were in there. They were arguing with her. They were asking her, why won't you do this? Why won't you do this? Why won't you obey the law? And she said, because God's law to me is higher than man's law. And they retorted back to her, yeah, well, what about loving your neighbor? And what about this? And what about... They're always throwing that stuff right in her face. Okay? But her love for the Lord her God and for His ways was higher than her love for anybody else. And if your neighbor... I believe in loving your neighbor. But if your neighbor wants you to compromise your love for God and His ways... Don't do it. That's what those 2 guys... See, you know what I saw in that? I saw in this woman, Jesus, fasting for 40 days. And I saw in those 2 guys, the devil, using Scripture to try to tempt her. This Bible is being played out right now. Amen? It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And it's that principle there that is compelling us as a people... to stand up and say, this is wrong. And you can throw us in jail. You can drag us before courts. You can do whatever you want to. But we're not breaking God's law. She, you know what she said? She said, my name is going to go on that marriage certificate. You're asking me for a marriage certificate. My name's on there. If I knowingly put my name on a certificate that gives authority for you 2 men to be married, I would be violating God's law. And she said, I'm not doing it. You pray for that lady. Amen? Amen. Amen. Mark chapter 14. Turn there. A few pages down the road. All of this has to do with how God operates through the mind. Have you ever had conversations with God? Don't be ashamed. I have. Have them all the time. Okay? And God's always right in every one of them. Amen? I'm always wrong and God's always right in every one of them. But in my mind, somebody asked me about this and said, is that wrong? I don't think it is. I'm in fellowship, in communion with my Lord by way of the Holy Spirit. Am I getting new revelations from God that are not in the Bible? No, that's a bunch of nonsense. But I am in fellowship with my God. And my mind will have a conversation with what I know God is going to say. Amen? because I know what the Bible says, and I have this conversation. God, what if I, and then all of a sudden I'll just hear Scripture. Yeah, God, you're right. You're right on that deal. Okay. And so here's what he said. Here, the Scripture, God will always bring things to mind, your mind, when you've done something wrong. Look at Mark chapter 14, verse 72. The second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. How'd that take place? Mine. Who do you think brought to light that thing that Jesus said? The Holy Ghost of God did. Jesus said it to him. At the time, Peter said, Lord, I'll never deny me. He said, Peter, for the cock crow twice, you'll deny me three times. He didn't think nothing of it then. He went out, and there he is, denying Jesus three times. And then as soon as he heard that cock, that was the worst one in the world, wasn't it? Immediately, the Holy Ghost reminded him of the words of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something. When you sin, if God is on your side, if the Holy Ghost is your guide and counselor, when you sin, God will bring His Word to your mind to show you what you did wrong. Amen? It's all right here in the mind. Acts chapter 17, turn there. Wow. Acts chapter 17. Here, we're going to learn how to have a readiness of mind. A readiness of mind. Okay? Acts chapter 17, verse 11. These were more noble. He's talking about the Bereans. You've heard of the Bereans, right? You've heard someone say, be a Berean. Here's the Bereans. The Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and search the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. So you come in Bethel Church, you hear me, you know me by reputation, you know that if I stand up here, I'm going to give you four pages of Scriptures. I don't see any notes on here. I don't have any notes on here. Just four pages of Scripture. All right? That's just what I do. And you're ready. You know that when you come in here, that's what you're going to hear. But also, because I'm going to say little things like what I'm doing now in between the verses, right? So have a ready mind not only to receive the Word, but a ready mind to go back to that same Word to see whether or not what I said was in line with the Scriptures. Amen? The biggest fallacy made by church people all over this country has been a failure to test spirits, a failure to discern, and a failure to check what the man said behind the pulpit out with what the Word of God says. Been a failure. And you know what? I think people want it that way. They want it that way. They want that smooth talk. They want that sweet talk. They want that talk that says we just love everybody. And I want to tell you, it's been brought to me numerous times by people who said that after this Supreme Court deal went through where they legalized all this gay marriage, the number of pastors that people were telling me, they said, we thought our pastor was really going to stand up for the stuff. And he preached on everything else except what the Supreme Court did. Never made mention of it. Or they said, well, now we're not wanting to judge everybody. We want to be careful now not to judge people. That wasn't the time. Amen? And so anyway, the failure of people is to not have a ready mind to receive the Scriptures and to search the Scriptures. Turn to Ephesians, or to Romans 12, actually. Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 1 says what? Who knows that one? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You grew up and lived knowing how to sin. Knowing how to think about sin. Knowing how to devise sin. Knowing about how to get away with sin. Knowing how to hide sin. That's what we know. That's what just is natural in us. And when we come to Christ, God gives us a new nature. We have now the hidden man on the inside. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the earnest of God's Spirit. We have God's Word abiding in us that we may not sin. We have those things in us. And all of a sudden now, we're on a training ground to teach our mind to think differently than what it used to think. I'll never forget one time I was out at Richwoods pastoring out there. And we had a young couple that started coming. And I didn't know her, that some of the people in the area knew her, but I didn't know her. And I didn't know that when they first started coming, she was liberal. She was pro-abortion. She was pro-sodomite. She was pro-Bill Clinton. She was pro-this and pro-that. Never said anything. And I didn't know about it when they first started coming. Well, they didn't come there long. And all of a sudden, he come down the altar and she come down the altar. And they just wanted to give their life to the Lord and get saved and everything like that. And boy, I mean, it was good. And about a month and a half, 2 months later, had a little testimony time, and she stood up. And I said, "Yes, I want to hear from you. What do you got to say?" And she said, "Let me tell you something." She said, "Before I came to the Lord, before I started coming to this church," she said, "I thought it was okay for everybody to be homosexual. I thought it was okay to abort your baby. I thought it was okay for this and okay for that." And she said, "When God got a hold of me and saved my soul and I started reading this Bible, I decided that those things are wrong." You know what God was doing? And you know what? I never preached on those things that I can remember. I didn't get up there and beat her over the head with political causes and right-wing stuff and this. I didn't do that. She started getting that from the Holy Spirit of God. And I've learned as a pastor, I've been seeing this since I was a boy in this church. I remember a man that his wife was coming, his kids would come, and he never would come. Finally, he started coming. All of a sudden, he gave his life to the Lord. And I mean, he had big old scraggly beard and all this and that and the other. And nobody ever said anything about shaving your head and cleaning yourself and up there. And all of a sudden, he showed up and he had all that beard gone. He had his hair cut down, everything like that. And I went, "Well, you should have left that on." Wasn't much to look at. But you know what? He just said, "You know what? I just feel like I want to be clean." And I have nothing against beards. Amen. I thank God. If you can grow them, grow them. Amen. But that was in his heart and that was in his mind. And I'll tell you, when God does things like that, they're there. They're there. But he had a ready mind to search the scriptures. He wanted to be not conformed to this world, but he wanted to be transformed. And he knew that his mind needed to be renewed. And something that we see a lot of in American churches is that people will want to come to the church to have that hooked onto their life, but they don't want to let go of all of the other stuff in the world that they're a part of. They want to add that to the collective and not just yield over to the Lord and be conformed in the mind. They don't want that. And I'll tell you what, God doesn't force anybody. Amen? God doesn't force anybody. Ephesians 4:23, he said, "Be renewed in the spirit of your mind." That goes along with Romans 12. You can add those two together. Now look at verse 16 of Romans 12. Same chapter. Watch this. "Be of the same mind one toward another." You know what that goes along with? Love your neighbor as yourself. "Be of the same mind one toward another." Then he said, "Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits." These are all things that deal with the issues of our mind. I learned and am learning. I don't think I'll ever achieve mastery. But I've learned that the pastor is not the dictator. He's not the one that has the final say that makes everybody do what he wants them to do. And I've heard of pastors that people in their church, they can't even buy a house without getting the pastor to sign off on it. They can't even get married and have marriages unless the pastor gives approval. They can't do things without their pastor giving his blessing on everything. And that is not pastor's responsibility. A pastor, and I heard it preached this way and I like it, a pastor is a servant leader. Servant leader. Okay? And why I'm saying this is that I'm having to learn that as the head or the leader of the church, I'm not to think that I'm in any way above anybody else in this church. I'm not to think that way. You notice most of the time when I teach or preach, I'd rather be down here than up there. Sometimes I just seem like it's more comfortable. Sometimes, like Sunday, I just felt the need to be in that spot. But I'd rather be down here with people. God's teaching me that. God's helped me with that. That is a good way to be. If you are the foreman or the boss over anything, the people who are under you will love you and respect you if you will be a servant leader to them. Leading by example. Amen? Leading by example. So he said, to be of the same mind one to one another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Now turn over to chapter 14. Chapter 14. Let's build a little context around this verse. In chapter 14, verse 5, let's look at verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputation. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let him that eateth, let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Now, let me say this. I want to say this first to all the people in... We have groups on the internet that meet. One is the Watchman Community and one is a Facebook group. And they're listening right now. There's a whole group of them listening right now. You know what I've seen? The internet does a lot of good things. We're using it now. Praise the Lord. Amen. But something that I've seen, especially on Facebook, is that it empowers people to say things that if they were looking you in the eye, they would never say it. Because there's always just a common decency when talking to people. Okay? But people treat other people like absolute human garbage on the internet. Because they can say whatever they want to say. Whatever vile poison comes out of their mouth, they can put that down and not have to face the person that they said it to. And I'm going to tell you what, it's a sin. It is a sin to treat people that way. Can I hear God's people say amen? Those of you listening online, let me tell you something. Just because somebody new comes in and they don't see eye to eye with everything that you've already established, that is no reason to hack them up and to gossip about them and talk about them. You've just destroyed somebody's weak faith. Because you went after some little silly issue that you've exalted above everything else, like Christmas. I'm going to get an email. You've exalted that above everybody, and anybody who dares say Merry Christmas, you come unglued on them about how they're pagans, they're wicked, they're probably not even saved, and how better you are than they are, because you don't do that kind of nonsense. And I want to tell you, who do you think you are? Can I hear God's people say amen? I don't think that I should have to preach like that to people here. I don't think I should have to. I think all of us here, I think we ought to love one another. I think we ought to esteem one another. Amen. I think if somebody says, well, you know, I think it's like this. Don't come down on them. Come unglued on them. Beat them over the head. That is not the way to do it. And a year ago, it took place in this church house while I was gone. And I didn't put up with it then. I won't put up with it now. Amen. Not everybody knows everything that everybody else does. I'm still learning from the Bible. There are some things about Bible prophecy that I will not even preach. You know why? Don't know them. Don't know them. I don't have a clue what that means. What is those 2,300 days in the book of Daniel? Does anybody know? I have no idea what that means. So you know what I'm pretty good at? I think God knows. And the last I heard, God is the one who's going to enact His own word anyway. Amen? Now, I'll get off that, but I'm just saying, we get on high horse about things. I know I do it. I'm the preacher though, okay? But I know I do it. And if I've offended you, I apologize. But we got to learn to treat people and have kind of a like mind toward one another. Amen? By the way, that is not the only place in the Bible that talks about that. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Let me throw this at you real quick. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. You can't do that if everybody's bringing in 10 of the Bibles. Amen. Amen? Can't do it. That you all speak the same thing. And that there be. So you know what? When we have Sunday school and the teachers go down to Sunday school classes, you know what I know is happening down there? Giving them King James Bible verses. We're all speaking the same thing. Amen? That there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Same mind. Now again, nobody in this room agrees 100% with anybody else in this room, including me. Nobody does. It's impossible to have it that way. And I've thought about this. Well, I think God has a little job for this part of the body to do. And God has a job for this part of the body to do. Amen? And you don't give them all the same stuff all the time. But you know, they're all feeding from the same blood, aren't they? They're all getting the same air from the two lungs. Amen? And they're all made out of the same DNA. I don't have somebody else's DNA mixed into my armpit somewhere. I just made that up. I have no idea if it's... But I'm just telling you, we're not all going to see eye to eye. We're not all going to agree. Amen? But we all stick together. Because we're already stuck together. Just like this arm is stuck to this arm. By way of this. Philippians 1:27. And then I'll close for tonight. Philippians 1:27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Striving together. I like that. Because, and I brought up this thing about having a police honoring Sunday. And I want to hear from you if you've got any opinion about that, whether pro or con. I want to hear about it. Because you know why? I want us all to not have to strive with each other. Who in here has ever gone to another church besides Bethel? Okay? Who in here has ever seen a big dogfight in the church? Let me tell you where my heart is. Jimmy and Linda, you guys, you're about the only ones here who would remember this. When I was 13 years old, we had a man by the name of Phil Jones, who just last month went home to be with the Lord. He just passed away. He was a pastor. At that age in life, I was really starting to just wake up to godly things. Just in a matter of 3 years, God was going to have me down at the altar, call me to preach. God brought this pastor here. And he said some things, did some things, some people in the church didn't like. So instead of them dealing with it scripturally, they had board meetings behind a man's back. And in essence, was voting him out of the church without him even being aware of it, much less other people in the church who were standing with him. And I don't know all of the particulars, but I remember one Wednesday night in this church house, hollering, screaming in a business meeting, making accusations to one another. One lady, there was a man here who in my mind, he's one of the most godly, loving men I've ever known in my life. And that's Dale McCurry. I've never met a man like him. He was our deacon at the time. Very humble man. But he knew what was right. And he knew he was siding with the pastor. Even if the pastor would have been wrong, how they went about it was not right. And while he was speaking, standing up in order, speaking on behalf of the pastor, a woman got up in this church, slapped him across his head. In this church. And I'm 13 years old and I'm bawling my eyes out watching this. I love this church. I've loved it all my life. God let me see that. And when I see two people that I love here not getting along, you have no clue what that does to me. You cannot fathom what that does to me. It tears me up. God let me see that. And I've made up my mind that there will never be another fight in this room as long as I've got anything to do with it.
Amen.
That's just how I feel. You want to make me mad and get me to be mean? Try it. I don't put up with it. It ain't right. Lost people. That's the excuse they use. But the excuse is justified all too often. Amen? Now you know where my heart is. Okay? Did you know that most of the time what you've got against somebody, you can just swallow it and move on? Chew it up and swallow it. Because you know what that's attached to? Pride. And it's best to always just chew it up, swallow it, get it out of the way. Can I hear God's people say amen?
Amen.
You know where my heart... You want to hurt me? If you really intentionally want to hurt me, start a fight here. Okay? You will. Let's stand to our feet. I love you. Our fight is going to be in Hillsboro this weekend. If I find out, that's just a rumor now. My sister told me that. And if she's lying, I'm going to go pop her right in the head. You don't touch her. But if what she told me is true, that's where our fight is. And the devil would love for nothing more than to get us fighting one another so we leave them alone. Sounds about right, doesn't it? United we stand. Divided we fall.